Hi, everybody, and welcome to Two Off the First. It's November 13th, 2023. I'm Ryan Ballinger. I hope you had a great weekend. It was a very interesting one in terms of the golf world. Some interesting results, some emotional results in one case in particular. And I think we've got a case for co-players of the year on the LPGA. We'll talk about that a little bit, kind of recap the weekend, and get you ready for this this final week of significant golf this season on each of the major tours. So we're first presented by our friends at Swannies. Check them out, swannies.co. Use the promo code GOLFNEWSNET25 to save 25% off your first order. We are getting awfully close to Black Friday season. I do not know ahead of time what Swannies has as their Black Friday offer, but at a minimum, you're going to get 25% off with us. I'm sure they're going to do some awesome stuff. So if you want to wait a week and use that promo code GOLFNEWSNET25, hey, that's up to you. But you're going to love wearing Swannies. I've been wearing hoodies all weekend. It's definitely now hoodie season here in the area. Highs now in the 50s, maybe close to 60. That's exactly what I want to be wearing, a hoodie. And I love the Swannies hoodies, as well as their pullovers, quarter zips. They just make great stuff. Swannies.co. Okay, so we had a pretty emotional Sunday afternoon on the PGA Tour. And that happened at the Bermuda Championship, Butterfield Bermuda Championship. Alex Noren opened the tournament 10 under 61, tied the course record with Taylor Pendrith from last year. I think it was the third round, and really got off to a great start. Was in contention all weekend. And then here comes Camilo Villegas, and been playing well, got himself into the final group on Sunday yet again. Back-to-back weeks after coming up just short against Erik van Rooyen, feels like a world away at El Cardinal in Los Cabos, Mexico. This golf course, obviously a similar kind of somewhat tropical environment, but in terms of the width of the playing areas and the playing surfaces, much, much narrower. And there was a whole lot more wind at this venue, at Port Royal, than they probably had in totality last week at El Cardinal. And Camilo Villegas played a wonderful Sunday. Really, really good golf. And I think he was two or three clear. Got to the 17th hole, par three. Winds up in a bunker. It was not an easy bunker shot. Kind of got in the front of a bunker. Had to kind of carry it over most of the bunker to get it on and then roll it toward a somewhat tucked flag given the angle that Villegas had. Picture perfect bunker shot, rolls to a foot and a half, walks up, taps it in, has a two shot lead going to the last, playing dead downwind for all three players, hits the green, almost makes the, well, I won't say almost, but cozies it up, taps it in, winds up winning the Butterfield Bermuda Championship for his first win on the PGA Tour in more than 9 years. It had previously come at the 2019 Wyndham Championship. And it's his fifth PGA Tour win. And I don't know if you know the Villegas' story. I mean, it has been out there. But Camilo and his wife lost their daughter, Mia, who at the age of 22 months to cancer, to pediatric cancer. And that was 3 years ago. And it happened pretty quickly. Things went wrong, and unfortunately, Mia died. And the heartbreak that I'm sure they suffer and deal with every day has to be immense. They started a charitable foundation called Mia's Miracles with the intent of trying to provide resources and support to families and children who are going through these kinds of pediatric tragedies. And that's been certainly a positive. But Villegas has kind of struggled to keep his card. I mean, you would too, I would too. I mean, it'd be hard to keep your life together if you lost your daughter or son, or, you know, 22 months old. And that's something that's going to stay with him forever. But Villegas began working with a new swing coach, and, you know, not that long ago. And also not that long ago, at the same time, he was considering doing commentary. I mean, he did like a test run for several days on Golf Channel, and I actually thought he was pretty good. And now I did not realize he is 41 years old. He's older than I am by a year, which I had no idea. But he is now secure on the PGA Tour for two more seasons. So he's got 2014, or excuse me, 2024 and 2025 in the bag. So he's through to probably 43, 44 years old by getting five wins on the PGA Tour. He now has enough points at a minimum to get some PGA Tour champion starts when he turns 50, which is not for nothing. That can mean a lot to a player, a chance to continue to play and some foothold on the PGA Tour champions. His best category available is the all-time moneyless category, as Bob Estes pointed out to me. He was absolutely right. But the moment that he won, and obviously, I don't want to say Golf Channel milked it, because everyone watching probably had some idea about this if you're kind of a someone who watches PGA Tour fall golf. And that moment when he made the putt and fist pumped and looked to the sky, and that, I mean, that was certainly emotional. But what I was really impressed about from Camilo Vijugas was the way he handled the moment. I know, and of course it was emotional, but he also let himself be happy. It wasn't all about being. He's thinking about his daughter, and he's thinking about what he worked to accomplish. And both of those things can coexist. You can feel pain and you can feel happy at the same time. And the moment where you could tell he was letting that sink in, but then for his friends to kind of come out and spray him with champagne and or whatever was in those bottles, that he could embrace that too. And I was really impressed with how he spoke about the what he and his wife and have been through, and that he knew his daughter was smiling down. And that the thing that really got me was, and maybe you have to have this perspective, but he said she's where she needs to be after a really tough fight, after a really long fight. I don't have the exact words, but that was about it. And that really struck me, that to have, you have to have faith. Otherwise, it's total despair, and at least in this situation. And for him to have the faith that Mia is where she needs to be, somewhere in the universe, because she had a really tough fight and needed to stop, and that he could reliably count on that. And I don't know what kind of faith you are, or what kind of faith you have. I mean, but that struck me as really remarkable, pretty special. And the thing that he said, and I thought this was really interesting, about how he feels about life and golf and the allegory. And we've talked about it. I mean, I've talked about it plenty of times over the years. Golf and life are awfully similar. And he said this thing that's probably going to stick with me. The quote is, "This game has given me so many great things, but in the process, it kicks your butt. Life has given me so many great things, and in the process, it kicks my butt too." And that, I mean, that's it. That is it right there. And I realize it's on a scale, right? Life can kick your butt mercilessly and give you nothing. It all depends on what you think is great. And that changes by the person, and some of it is obviously measurably, objectively great, and some of it is all relative. What kicks your butt might be all relative, but in Camilo Vijugas's case is certainly, I think, absolute. I don't think there's any question about that. And for him to have found that this one moment, and it's not it, this doesn't last, right? That victories are short-lived. You can only embrace them for so long before you can't trade on them, you can't live on them. And he knows that, because He had 4 PGA Tour wins before yesterday, and he couldn't trade on that. I mean, you still have to keep going. So for that, I thought it was I thought that was really cool. I mean, the fall, the past 2 weeks has offered some incredibly emotional stories, and that just kind of happened to happen that way. But that the allegory of golf and life, I think that gets you to a certain point where you go, that makes golf more powerful. That's what makes golf more emotional, for me at least. The understanding that golf and life are an awfully lot alike. And I think also getting older. Yeah, he's 41, I'm 40. He's obviously been through more significant things than I have in terms of losing a child. But I feel like the golf is great, but it's secondary to what you went through to get there. And in the last couple of weeks, the journey of Eric Van Rooyen and Camilo Villegas has been pretty substantial. One much more sudden than the other, perhaps. But also Mia passed away pretty suddenly too, and completely unexpectedly. So you never know what life's going to throw your way, and that Camilo Villegas has the perspective to appreciate what he has been given, what had been taken away, where he is now, and to just speak with clarity about it, I thought was extremely impressive. I'm not someone who follows professional athletes or professional athletes' spouses on social media. It's just not... That's not where my interest lies, really. I follow very few professional athletes, unless I might know them personally for some reason. But, and that's exceedingly few. And I want to point out that one of my followers, the Pike Man, shared with me something that I thought was extremely powerful from Camilo Villegas' wife, Maria, about something she shared, looks like last July of this year. And I kind of want to read it to you because I thought this was incredible depth. And it's from July 26th of this year. And she says, 3 years is from Instagram. 3 years since Mia went to heaven and became my guiding light. July 26, 2020 at 9:30 p.m. was her last heartbeat. My heart has been broken since that moment. It will stay broken, and I'm okay with that. Many people have said to me that time heals everything. They clearly have not lost a child. It has not gotten easier with time. If anything, it gets harder. But time has given me space to feel, to forgive, accept, and love. One of the biggest lessons I have learned is that happiness, or how I'd rather call it, living with peace from within, is a choice that I consciously make every moment of my life. I am proud of my broken heart. Having a broken heart doesn't mean I am destined to live unhappy. It's actually quite the opposite. My broken heart has the ability to be more grateful than it ever was before because it knows how precious every single little thing is. My heart doesn't take anything for granted. My broken heart experiences love like it never did before. My broken heart savors every moment where joy is present. And it goes on like that. But I thought that was really, really poignant. Really, really poignant. And some other kind of wholesome social content. I'll give a shout out to Claire Rogers over at golf.com. She does a great job kind of just tracking and finding stuff. But I guess the Villegas family is pretty close with the Donalds. Diane, I think, is Luke Donald's wife's name. And they were on video chat watching the whole thing because Diane said to Maria that she didn't want to come over this Sunday because they went over last Sunday and did win. And superstition kind of runs among professional golfers. Apparently their spouses. So that was pretty cool too. So that was great. That was really great. That was cool to watch. And then on the LPGA, had Lilia Vu win for the fourth time this year and become the first player basically since Saori Park to win 2 majors and 4 times on the LPGA in a year, with that coming into the year with 0 wins. That's pretty impressive too. She's either very high or kind of low, and she's talked about that. She talked about that, I think, a couple times this year, that after she won the Chevron for her first major win, she talked about the kind of basically thought imposter syndrome, like she wasn't going to win again. This was her one and only thing, and she doubted she could get back to this because she didn't really believe in herself. And I'm not even entirely sure she still believes in herself, but that she then wound up winning another major and then another win on top of that to get to four. That's an incredible year. And that Lilia Vu is maybe starting to realize just how great she can be. That, I mean, that stuff's cool to see in real time. It's cool to see somebody who struggled as mightily as she did coming out of school, considered a great prospect, someone likely to do well as a professional golfer, absolutely fell on her face, went back to the developmental tour, the Epson tour, figured it out, got promoted, and in short order is the number, has been multiple times this year and will be again this starting this week, the number one player in the world. That's a pretty awesome journey in a very short period of time, less than 3 years, for her to go from pro, failing pro, developmental tour, promotion, multi-time major champion, number one in the world. And that's great. That's kind of stuff you want to root for. She can become a little bit more consistent, and that's been pointed out. I mean, she's not a top 10 machine. She doesn't just cash huge checks every week. She goes through stretches where she doesn't play well whatsoever. You know, maybe a top 40 is kind of the standard or the floor, so to speak, when she plays. She can miss cuts too. But that her next step is not worrying about, I mean, she still wants to win, obviously. But she seems to have figured out how to close. She closes. When she's there, she wins. And the next step is becoming a more consistent golfer so that you can win without your best. You can win with your next level game, your B game, C game, whatever, you know, whether you want to use the old Tiger term, A game, B game, C game, or just, hey, I can win without my best. And that's 2024 for Lilia Vu. But even if she were a player that were kind of like this for a long time and found ways to win, but didn't necessarily just post top tens all the time, she'd still be an incredible player. So, congratulations to her on a tremendous year. There's one more week left. The CME Group Tour Championship is this week, still in Florida, in Naples. And top 60 players in the standings get in. She's second in the standings. Celine Boutier is first. None of that really matters. The points don't matter. They get wiped for this week. It's just a straight tournament. Whoever wins this tournament wins $2 million, the biggest first place prize in women's golf. And we'll see what happens, but that should be a pretty dramatic conclusion. But on the opposite end of that, Lydia Ko finished 100th in the race to the CME Globe. 100th. She keeps her card because she's won multiple times and has, you know, all kinds of status above and beyond the top 100. But that's the cutoff point for for keeping your card next year. So there was some drama about that outside of Lydia Ko. But that tells you what 1 year can do. And she was kind of down in the doldrums before 2022, then had a great 2022, then got off to a horrible start and really never recovered in 2023. Lexi Thompson, who was outside the top 100 for a good chunk of the year, she winds up in like 76th or 79th place in the race to the CME Globe, so she keeps her card, doesn't have to worry about any of that type of stuff. She played very well down the stretch, obviously, to save her season, save her status, and she's 29th in the world. I mean, golf is a brutal sport to keep your place and to keep it going, and it can go away extremely quickly without warning or explanation. So for Lilia Vu to have the year that she had, and you might go, well, how can she think about herself as an imposter or somebody that might never win again? That's why, because that stuff happens. So she's not misplacing her fear, but maybe figuring out how to realize that she does have that capability, and she's demonstrated that enough times now. Now the next step is trying to become someone who can be a threat every week or most weeks and not just some of the time. And that takes us to Max Homa, who is now the number 7 golfer in the world. He wound up winning his first DP World Tour title. He won the Nedbank Golf Challenge, pretty much going away in South Africa. He was great all week. He went over there early with Justin Thomas. And their spouses went over and had safari adventures and fun stuff. They really embraced the travel to this tournament. There were 66 players in the field. It's the top 60 available in the DP World Tour's Race to Dubai ranking. And then 6 sponsor exemptions. And for Max Homa to win, great week. Really cool celebration. And he's another guy. He's probably the great example for Lily Avu in terms of current parallel to what is possible. He has figured out how to become a winner. He has figured out how to become a more consistent player. I don't think that top 10 of the Open, his first top 10 in a major, was by accident. He's figuring out how to be better every week, every time. Raise the bar so that the ceiling is still winning, but the bar is much higher from the minimum. And that has really worked in his benefit. I mean, he's undoubtedly one of the top 10 players in the world, probably one of the top 5 players in the world, depending on how you think about it. I mean, you got your clear top 4 these days, I think, between Scheffler, McIlroy, John Rahm, and Victor Hovland. But beyond that, I think you'd be hard-pressed to think of someone better than Max Homa and putting them at 5. Maybe there are more consistent players who earn more points, but Max Homa wins. And I think you have to value wins. I value wins. I think you have to value wins. But the world ranking tends to value wins versus strokes gained or how you perform over certain players over time in relative competition. Ultimately, winning has to have a reward. And I think that reward is what Max Homa is reaping. And that's what puts him, in my view, above a Colin Morikawa or a Patrick Cantlay or a Xander Schauffele. Those guys have won plenty of times. But right now, I think Max Homa is a better player. And again, he was, 9 holes away or something from losing his status? Multiple times. It's been very within an inch of losing status and going all the way back to the bottom. And instead, he's now the 7th best player in the world in the OWGR and probably a top 5 player in the world. Pretty amazing. And those stories are cool. I love that kind of, in a world where, and we do it, obviously, talk fair about money and the infiltration of money in our sport. That's the good stuff. That's it right there. Those types of stories. So I know a lot of people aren't paying attention this time of year, and for good reason, I get it, but what you get to experience with stories like this, and you put them into the bigger perspective, and you kind of compare them and start to understand how certain people take very similar paths, although they're a little bit different between Lily Avu and Max Homa, and that's pretty cool. So on the DP World Tour this week, we have the season-ending DP World Tour Championship in Dubai. Rory McIlroy's already won the Race to Dubai. No matter what happens this week, he's already so far ahead that he can't lose. So he has won for the 5th time the Race to Dubai. That's pretty incredible. I know the way the point system works, you can kind of just parachute in and win, especially with how well you do in the majors. But congrats to Rory McIlroy for that front. Steve Stricker officially won the Charles Schwab Cup by not playing a single playoff event. Steve Alker won the season-ending Charles Schwab Cup Championship on the PGA Tour Champions, and that was a great year capper for him. Another great year for Steve Alker, who is probably one of the coolest stories in recent memory on the tour. A guy, again, who was a journeyman in a true sense, played a lot of global tours, and has found a way to become a winner and a world beater at the PGA Tour Champions level. So that's pretty cool as well. So they're done for the year. And then on the PGA Tour, we have our final fall event this week, the final official event of the year, the RSM Classic at Sea Island. Solid field, actually, like a dozen top 50 players competing this week. Same on the DP World Tour. So about half of the world top 50 is competing this week somewhere. It's a nice little week of golf in the OWGR. And then 40 of the top 50 in the Rolex Women's World Golf Ranking are in the CME Group Tour Championship. So a lot of high-level golf being played this week. And then start to get into the new season of the DP World Tour, take a break on the PGA Tour and LPGA Tour, and start to kind of get ourselves thinking about 2024. That's going to do it for us today on the show. Thanks so much for spending time with us. I appreciate it. We'll be back to talk other stuff tomorrow. We'll have plenty to talk about this week, I'm sure. We didn't even get into comments from Rory McIlroy about Patrick Cantlay. We'll save that for tomorrow. Needless to say, they're classic. They're great. I think they have some interesting perspective on the whole Ryder Cup thing, the Hatgate stuff. That's not as important to the whole thing, but the comments are pretty funny as it relates to that. And we'll try to bring any other interesting stories we have this week. If you catch us as a podcast on a platform, let you do it. Leave us a 5-star review. Helps us reach more people. Shoot me an email, ryan@thegolfnewsnet.com. You can get a hold of me on X, Twitter, Threads, and Instagram at the handle Ryan Ballingy. I'm on YouTube, too, if you care about such things. I'm at Ryan Ballingy Golf. You can find that there if you'd like. And we'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on Two Off the First.